Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you want to be healthy, don't smoke, don't drink, eat mostly vegetables, have a good sleep regime and exercise regularly. Not exactly fun, but fun is just as crucial to health, and more specifically, laughter. The family psychotherapist Richard Hogan regularly prescribes that. Afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon.
When you what happens to your brain when you laugh?
Oh, a cocktail of things. Well, you lower stress hormones, right? You lower, and you know, cortisol and adrenaline, and you also boost endorphins, and you boost things like, really important things like dopamine, and you increase the body's, it's basically like an exercise. And so the whole body feels it, because there's a thing called the vagal signal, the vagal nerve that goes down from the back of the brain into the body, mm-hmm. and 80% of the fibers from the body go into this vagal signal and shoots it back up to the brain to tell the brain everything's going okay in the body. And that's a really important thing, you know, the body holds all this stuff. And so when you laugh, you're literally telling the little person up here, who's quite frantic at times to figure out are things good or bad,
yeah,
calm down, everything's going great, Richard's enjoying himself, he's having a laugh. And it actually increases like a sense of euphoria. Things like oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin, they increase. They're really important things for feeling good, but also oxytocin for the social contract of knitting with people, really important. So laughter, you know, the old phrase of laughter is the best medicine. Well, it mightn't be the best medicine for what you're suffering with, but it certainly will help your body, you know, in the longevity term.
Yeah.
More laughter, longer life.
Does it need to be laughter?
Oh, good laughter. Good belly laugh. When was the last time you had a good laugh?
Probably when we did an item on assholes and an item about a wall called a ha. Okay. That was only in the last half hour, to be honest with you. Does it have to be laugh out loud, a belly laugh? Can a snigger do? And I'm not being facetious, but you know, a kind of a
snigger might, some people, mightn't be exactly it.
Yeah, some people's personality type isn't, they're not the laugh out loud type.
I think what I'm prescribing for in that article that I wrote in The Examiner is like a good laugh. You know, we all have friends over the years, and this is what I'm trying to say in the article, is that we've all had friends over the years that tickle our funny bone. People tickle our funny bone, people don't tickle our funny bone, and all that. And it's important to stay connected with those who do, who allow us to access that childish side of ourselves, because I think as we move into our 40s, we lose that childish side, and we have to hold on to that person with dear life.
Yeah, that's the thing. As you move through, you know, like, and probably most people will remember when you're 10, and you get the sniggers and you just can't stop laughing.
Yes, yes,
and it can be about nothing, and you're snotting yourself, you're laughing so much. But when you become an adult, and as you get, the older you get, you lose that a bit.
You do lose it a little bit, and we need it. You absolutely need it, because life is absurd and there's a lot of suffering in life and all the rest of it. That's why the giggle at the funeral is such an important thing, and why there's so much humour at funerals. It helps us to get through a deeply, you know, existential kind of experience. And so that little side of yourself that loves laughter, like, you know, I work in a very serious job and I have a lot of serious things in my life, but I'm not a very serious person. You know, I love laughter and I love the absurdity and I love listening to comedy and I love watching comedy and all that kind of stuff, because I love to have a laugh at things and the absurdity of life. Nothing can help you to deal with it better, I think, than a bit of humour.
Yeah. It's more difficult for people, though, if the because when you're a kid, I suppose, there's more room in your brain for that.
Yeah, it's more acceptable to be full of laughter.
Yeah, but room in your brain in that... You know, and you mentioned being in your 40s, which apparently is the unhappiest decade.
47.
And you know, you got to pay the mortgage, the kids are screaming, blah, 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 chores, all that stuff.
Yeah,
So it's, you know, it's hard to find room to do that or to see. It's almost like you need to step outside yourself to be able to look at it from a distance and maybe have a laugh.
Then. Yeah, but there's humour in everything. This is the way I feel. There's humour in everything. My youngest daughter was born. She had a rare illness, you know, and the doctor used to come in. We were in the hospital in the Coombe for 12 weeks, sorry. And there was one doctor in particular who had a particularly unpleasant bedside manner, and I'd say to my wife, here comes Dr. Death now, he's going to tell us some terrible things, let's, you know, and we'd have a joke between ourselves about the awful prognosis that was coming down the line. So when he came in, it disarmed us to this particular way of looking at what was happening for us and our family. And we had a laugh about it, and it helped us to get through this really tricky time. And I just said, if we could just hang on to that, because there is humour in absolutely most things in life. Yeah. There's absurdity.
Yeah. You know? But if somebody won't give in to that, the race for, or, you know, submit themselves to doing something like that. Some people might be quite po-faced about making a joke in the situation you described, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, how can you, like, if you get a, if you, in your work, if you get a couple in and like, he says, she won't laugh, or she's saying he won't laugh. You know, can you do something about that?
Well,
can
I don't you, know, but know? See, there's just on that, there's so much humour in therapy. No one ever talks about that. There's so much fun in that therapeutic conversation. At times, of course,
yes.
At times there's not so much fun. You're dealing
imagine,
with an affair. You're going, let's have a good old chuckle at this one. It's not present there, obviously. But can you help someone to be a bit more humorous? Well, you can certainly help them to see things a different way, you know, and why they see certain things. And what actually happens to us in our childhood, what happens here, Sean, is that we learn not to look at things in a funny way. We learn to be protective of ourselves. We learn to be serious and to be po-faced. Mm. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is try to reconnect with what happened there to move past that so that you can see the humour in things. Because the humour is, it just helps us through life. Because this thing ultimately is punctuated with a catastrophe, and if we
like it is a life is a joke at our expense. Really.
But we got to laugh along with it.
Yeah,
and the more you laugh along with it, the more you're resilient. And I think that's what like scientists say. We developed this reward system of laughter to help us to knit, but also to make us resilient as a group to cooperate with each other.
Yeah.
And so there's real important things in there around laughing.
Mm, yeah.
And do actually, more of it.
Because you mentioned funerals there.
Best fun I've ever had.
Me too. Yeah. And like, if you go to, been to a lot of funerals, weddings, it's far more likely a fight will break out at a wedding than a funeral.
Exactly.
Because
and more fun is had at the funeral than the wedding. Yeah.
Yeah, because weddings tend to have this expectation that you're going to have a good time, which is there's nothing worse to make people
nothing
have
kills.
A bad time
nothing
than
kills.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
the
funeral, you don't have that, and it's more kind of relaxed, and people are more themselves.
Absolutely, and you're in the midst of a bit of sadness there, and a bit of humour gets you through it.
Yeah. I'm 47. I'm definitely, it's very important to have a laugh and try not to worry too much about the worries of the adult world. Somebody wants to know, how can we make ourselves laugh more? Is it just be around funny people? If you just sat down and like watched a comedian for 10 minutes, would that do the same thing?
For me, through COVID and all that, when it was really serious, and I just reconnected with Seinfeld again, which I loved as a kid.
Mm.
And I was just watching all these, you know, funny episodes. And it just allows you to laugh. Or The Office, during the last 2 years of, like, say, a particular regime, I'd watch all the old Office and I'd just take a break from what's going on politically, take a break from what's going on around us societally, and you get into a bit of humour and you get, that's what I'd say. Go look at something.
Yeah.
And find the person who makes you laugh, because there's so many people out there that will tickle that funny bone for you.
Please tell Richard, of whom I am a huge fan, that I do laughter yoga.
Oh, nice.
When able, but there aren't enough groups in the country. It costs very little and should be introduced all over the country. Yes, it's forced laughter at first, but your body doesn't know the difference. And you get the same benefits. It's like being a child. So is it that work? It's like
absolutely.
Fake it until you make it kind of thing.
The body will feel it. And so when the body's moving, the heart rate's increasing, you know, the blood vessels are opening up. All the body's feeling that. And, you know, the body keeps the score. The body's keeping that thing in there. And so when you're laughing and you're not really laughing about anything that's really making you laugh, you're still getting that visceral response through the whole vagal signal into the brain and all the rest of it. And it's good for you. It's like going for the only way I look at it for myself personally, a good laugh at a friend that I love and have a good friend with, it's like going for a sea swim.
Yeah,
you come out invigorated. You feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a really important thing not to let go.
Yeah.
And if someone doesn't have a sense of humour, that's their thing, not yours, you know?
Well, no, that, well, the worst. If somebody tells you they have a sense of humour, that's the one
killer. I'm really funny, Sean.
I've got a sense of humour, and then that usually preludes a complaint about a joke. I walked into my father's funeral and said, "Why the long face? You think someone died?"
There you go,
Richard. Thanks a million for coming into us. That was Richard Hogan there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.